It's always great to see you, and especially on a Sunday like today, it's great to see so many faces and knowing that your clocks reset themselves or you set them properly, so glad. Yes. I actually discovered this morning that my smartwatch isn't as smart as I thought it was. Because it did not sync with my phone time, and it was showing at the wrong time. I actually took a minute there. But anyway, it is great to be here with you and to celebrate God's goodness. Today is the second Sunday of Lent, and just as a reminder that Lent is this period of time leading up to Easter where we take time to really just reflect and focus on God's redemption, what he did through Jesus. It's just a time of preparation for that celebration of Jesus' resurrection coming up in April. And this year, we're kind of taking a step back from everything to take a big look at the big picture of God's story of redemption. I started last week just focusing on creation and God's relationship to it. This world was not only made by God, but he is intimately connected with it. This world is held together by him. He's made it his dwelling place. This is the focus of all his will and intention. And there's something important for us to remember in that as we go about our daily lives, that God is connected with this creation and that it is his world, not ours. So this is our starting point last week. And today we're going to take another step closer and take a look at one specific part of God's creation. And that is the creation of mankind. Out of all he created and established in this world, God created humans with a unique purpose and relationship in mind. He made us different from any other creature in this planet. And then he did it in a significant way. So today we're going to open up to Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. So if you'd like to follow along, go ahead and open up to that. And in this section, we're going to be reading about the sixth day of creation, that last day when God created. And on this day was the day that he brought all the creatures into the world. 26 tells us about the creation of man. Do I have a volunteer who would like to read this for us? Somebody who would like to come up and just read this passage, verses 26 through 30. Pat, would you like to do that?
Chapter 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in his image, in our likeness.'" Let me start over. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule. Oh dear. Over the, I got the smallest verse. Let them rule over the fish in the seas, and the birds of the air, over every livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Okay, really.
You
want me to read through 30? Okay. All right. Is this, do you have it here? Is yours bigger? Okay, I'm going to the bigger words here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food," and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and then there was morning, the sixth day.
All right. So God created mankind. And there's some significant things it says in here about mankind. The first is that he made man in his image and after his likeness. Human beings were created in God's image. There's an attribute given only to mankind. And as you look at this, it even seems that God did something different in creating, in the act of creating mankind than he did in the rest of creation. If you look at the beginning of this sixth day, going back to verse 24, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds." And this is similar to what we read on the other days, where God just spoke and these things came into existence. He said, let it be. But when you get to verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness." It's different. It's not just a let it be statement. And as you read chapter 2, which kind of recaps some of the details, and we take a closer look, we even read that it says, "The Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature." So God formed human beings and breathed life into them. There's something unique and special that God was doing here. The Bible highlights that for us. This quality of being made in the image of God is something inherent to all human existence. It's something about our biological and spiritual being that is designed to reflect the very character of God. Knowing that all people have been created in the image of God has a powerful impact on the way you view human life. It not only communicates that your life is valuable to God, it communicates that every human life is valuable to God. And this has been a significant force behind a number of Christian movements throughout the centuries. You see this behind people speaking up to defend the life of unborn children, or movements to give better care to the elderly, to the sick, to the disabled, or movements to bring reconciliation between cultures and races and groups of people that have become divided. We see it in humanitarian efforts, efforts that are going on today, just this past week, Samaritan's Purse set up in Ukraine to respond to the need of millions of women and children fleeing the country to try to provide aid to them. And they have expressed, as you listen to their reason behind this and their motivation, they say that they make it clear, we're not here to pick sides in the conflict. Wherever we go, we're here to serve the needs of any human being who comes along. We're just here to be the hands and feet. We'll treat soldiers from either side. But they know that the main need is all these families that have been displaced and separated. And they just want to be the hands and the feet. And they do this because every human being is an image bearer of God and has inherent worth to him. Now, along with this truth about being made in the image of God, we read in Genesis 1 here that God gave man a special role. And that's part of the reasoning behind giving us this different character. He says to be fruitful and multiply and to rule over all the animals. Now, in some translations say to subdue, to rule. When you look at that word, the meaning of that is to take command of the earth and make use of its resources. When you understand the character of God behind that, this is a call to make good use of what God has given us. You can see a biblical basis in here for studying the world, understanding how things work, gaining knowledge, and developing beneficial technologies to make better use of the world that God has given us. He also says to have dominion over all the living things. And that points to God giving mankind a role of being his stewards over all the earth. We are made to be caretakers of this world. It's important to recognize that being a caretaker doesn't just mean that we care for the world in the way that we think is best. Right? A steward is someone who's given responsibility to care for the owner's belongings. And that involves upholding the owner's will and desires, caring for the way things the way he intends them to be cared for. It involves a high level of trust and responsibility. So God gave that to mankind. This is the role he gave us. It's an inherent part of God's established order in creation. So this is really my focus for today. God created mankind to be different than all other creatures. He made us to be more like him, and he gave us responsibility for stewarding this world that he created. Now, when you just stop and consider that for a minute, stop and consider what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God, you can identify a few ways that human beings are fundamentally different than other creatures, and understand that is part of the image we bear. That's part of our identity that's related to who God is. And it's important for us as we identify that to take what we know about God's character from the Bible and apply that to the way that we reflect his image. So the first difference that comes to mind is our difference intellectually. Human beings have a different intellectual capacity than other animals. We are created with the ability to reason and make choices. We don't just operate on instinct. We have the ability to think through things. We have the ability to calculate, to invent, to create, and consider different options. This is part of what enables us to be able to fulfill our role of caring for creation, because that ability gives us to think through things. Like, we can think through the consequences of what will happen before we take action. And we can make different choices depending on what those consequences would be before we have to experience it. We can learn from our past. Think about that. That, you know, I'm thinking of a proverb now, actually, about how a dog continues to return to its vomit over and over, right? It's not a good proverb, but it's the truth that animals don't necessarily learn from their past. They just continue to do the things. That's a significant difference between human beings and animals. We can apply reasoning to solve problems in creative ways. We can communicate with one another in complex ways. We can actually organize our efforts among large groups of people, making use of different gifts and talents and making the whole work better than the one. That's because of our ability to reason and think. That's part of the image of God that he's given us. Another part of the difference that we see that God did with human beings is he created us to be moral creatures. We think about what's right and wrong. We make laws. We try to define proper interactions with other people. We feel guilt and conviction over things. We generally want to be known as good people. We have a conscience, a moral compass that guides us and gives us an inherent understanding that there is a difference between good and evil. And this is a universal trait of humankind. People may argue about whether or not they should follow God's law or not, or whether God's law is the law that we should agree on, but everyone will agree there is a right and wrong, and that there are certain inherent things that we all know are wrong to do. It's something built into us. We'll talk a little bit later about the conflict we often have between our moral character and our rational character, because we can convince ourselves that we have good reasons to do things we know we ought not to do for moral reasons. We rationalize our choices, and we'll talk more about that next week. But the point for today is that mankind is made in a unique way to make moral choices. God designed us with the capacity to choose good. It's important there's a freedom to choose in that as well. Concepts like love and kindness and righteousness only exist because we can choose them. If there's no choice, it's just a robotic action being done because that's what we're programmed to do. There's no kindness that drives those actions if there's no choice. The Bible tells us that God is love. And in creating mankind, he created humans to love and show kindness in the same way that he does. And this is, again, part of the role that God has given mankind in the world. God calls us to make good use of the world's resources and to take good care of his creation. He didn't just make us to mechanically do the work of caring for this world. He gave us the capacity to love his creation. Think about the joy you feel when you spend time out in nature, or the love you can have toward an animal. Think about the joy you can have in doing the work that God has given you to do. This is actually something that struck me as I wrote it, that we have lost sight of this ethic of work in our culture. And it's really become apparent in this crisis that we have right now of people not wanting to work. You hear people expressing this thought of, why should I have to spend so much of my time working for somebody else rather than just doing the things that I want to do and doing the things that make me happy? We've lost sight of the fact that work is not just about earning income to live off of, but rather it's something that God gave us to do. It's part of our role in this world. It's about giving what we have to make a difference in this world, about using our abilities and our intellect to care for this world, to help sustain the good things that we have, or to help make improvements to make life better for everyone and everything. There's so much value we gain when we keep that in mind. We understand that we're part of a bigger picture and a bigger plan. Again, this is tied to seeing good in things. Our intellect can inform us about all the things that we can do. Our morality guides us in seeing what's good to do and deciding to do good things rather than evil things. Now, our morality is also tied to one more way we are instilled with the likeness of God, and that is in our relationships with one another. We are created for both social and loving relationships with others. Now, many creatures in this world have social interactions. We see it all the time. Birds gather in flocks, livestock form herds, baby animals bond with their parents, even insects will form social colonies and work together. And we all share some of those social aspects, but human beings have the ability to make moral choices, and that gives us the ability to have a much deeper level of connection and fellowship with one another. We can love, we can forgive, we can reconcile and restore relationships. These are all godly characteristics that God has placed within us the capacity to do as part of his special creation in this world. So mankind, you and I, were created in the image and likeness of God. That's a valuable trait that God has put into his created order in this world. It's his intention for this world. That we understand that mankind has a special place, and a special purpose in all of creation. And we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean for us today? We can look around at this world and see that things are not going according to God's plan. And we're going to get more into that next week. But I think it's important just to see today in that there is work to do. There's work to be done to manage and care for God's world well, and maybe even repair some of the things that have been done in the past. It's good to recognize that we were made for this work. And I don't say that in a way that just means, hey, this is your responsibility, get on it. But no, you were made for this. You have the ability to do this. You have something within you that allows you to make a difference, to do good in this world for the Lord. And it's good for us to take that responsibility on, to use the time that we've been given in this earth and to use this place that God has placed us in and commit ourselves to doing well with what God has given us to do. And to take joy in that work. There's so much fulfillment that comes from recognizing this as a privilege, that we have the privilege of partnering with the Lord and stewarding his creation and taking good care of what God has provided for us. Let's use whatever abilities and opportunities God gives us to contribute to the well-being of all God's creation. Do that whether it's managing resources well, or caring for creatures, or working for the well-being of others. There's so much good that we can do as we steward God's creation well and to work toward loving fellowship with one another as we reflect the character of God in all these things that we do. You were made for this. You have the capacity to do great things in this world, to make a difference for the Lord. But not only were you made to do good work in this world, I want you to recognize that you are a special part of God's creation today. You were created with love and care. All human beings, including you, is an image bearer of the Creator of life. God values your life immensely. There are many ways that this world communicates a different message, isn't it? Aren't there? That you must prove your value, that your failures are what defines you, that you are incapable of adding value to this world unless you meet certain qualifications. God's word declares that all those things are untrue. Let's be reminded today and throughout the rest of this next week that those messages are a lie. That God created you with inherent value. He created you in such a way that you reflect His character and image. Whatever has happened in your life, whatever choices you've made, or whatever has been done to you by others, you still matter to God. He brought you into this world with care and intention and made you different. Not only different from all the other creatures, but different from every other human being. He created each person in a unique way with love and intention. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He values your heart and wants to be close to you. So, that's our Lenten reflection for today. Let's give thanks to the Lord for the love that He has for His special creation of mankind. You are created in the image and likeness of God and have been placed in this world for His special purposes. That is a part of His redemption story. Let's give thanks to the Lord as we pray and celebrate Him in our final song. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the love that You show us. And I pray that You would just continue to remind us, Lord, that mankind has a special place in this world. And all that we see going on in our world, throughout all the things that distract and demand our attention, Lord, let us never forget our relationship with You and Your desire to have us care for Your creation well and the capacity You've given us to do that, Lord. Help us to find joy in the work You've given us to do, Lord. And let us all remember that our lives matter to You. Help us to live in such a way, Lord, that we look to You and we value and we gain our worth from You each day. That motivates us, Lord, to be filled with Your love and to express Your love in all we do. We ask for Your blessing, Lord, on this church as we continue to seek You and desire to know You and serve You in all we do, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.